Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Let's go to Matthew chapter number 9 in our scriptures. Matthew chapter number 9 in the Word of God.
These are familiar verses, and I don't know what your thought is when you come to familiar verses. If your thought is, oh, I like this, this is great, I'm familiar with this. Or if your thought is, I've heard this 1,000 times. I don't know. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter number 9 here to look at a truth that is on my heart to share with you from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to pick it up in verse 35 down through the end of the chapter. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The truth of the matter is that you and I must witness. What comes to your mind when you hear those words? Do you think, oh no, another one of Pastor's tangents here about evangelism and about witnessing? Or, we've heard this so much. Or maybe you think, I'm terrified to witness. Or maybe you think, there's nothing that he's going to say that's going to change my actions and change my life on this matter. Or maybe you say, I really do want to witness, but it's hard. It's challenging. I know I'm supposed to. I know I want to here, but it's hard. And sometimes witnessing, sharing the gospel with people around us can be hard. And I know that from experience in my life as well. I know it's hard to bring up conversations with people and then at the right time to open that conversation up into speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are a few people in this world that it just seems to come natural to them. It's very easy for them. And then, I don't know about you, but then there are the rest of us, right? It feels like the rest of us, it's a little bit more difficult. It feels like it's a little bit more challenging. And I want to be sensitive to that. I understand that. I've experienced that, and I share with you in that challenge here. And so as we look at this truth today, I want to help all of us in this regard, and I want to help me to grow in my evangelism and sharing the gospel with people. God has led our church last fall to embrace what we're calling the iHarvest Project. And for 2020, I believe it would be wise for us to continue on with that theme. There's several key components about this. Part of it is teaching. Part of it is just teaching and explaining how we can develop friendships with people and talk to people and get to know people and reach out to people besides just going quickly through our lives without ever connecting with anybody. Part of it's just simply a teaching. Part of it is funding. And already over $4,000 has come in towards this iHarvest project. And truly where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're excited about having some funds that we can use to help you, to help me, to help our church share the gospel with people. That's an exciting thing. So part of it is teaching and training, and part of it is funding. Part of it is my calendar and yours. Because you're busy. We're all busy. We have a boatload of things to do. So much to get accomplished. And you know, if we're not careful, sometimes we're just going a mile a minute and we don't take any time to stop and share the gospel with the people. And so part of the iHarvest Project is finding activities, events, time frames where we can just work on some of these things here. The iHarvest project, as you can see on the handout in front of you in the growth guide, is trying to help you to be able to work in God's harvest. So that you can work in God's harvest. And I'm excited about some of the progress we've seen. I'm excited that you have given $4,000, over $4,000 towards that project. That's exciting. I mean, I was excited about some of the projects that we did in the month of December. How we gave out Christmas cookies to neighbors, and some talked about how it helped them to reconnect with neighbors that they want to build further relationships with and be able to share the gospel with. Some talked about how they met neighbors for the first time in going to give out these cookies and to build friendships with people so that they can share the gospel with people. We had our gingerbread house build off, and we were able to share the gospel in a nutshell there at that event to some folks that were there that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We've already been working on this project. And so in 2020, instead of starting up another theme and trying to juggle several different themes, my goal is simply to focus only on that one that we've already got going and continue to focus on the iHarvest project so that you, can we all be involved in God's harvest? And so today I simply want to preach a message to help you to be involved in the harvest. And maybe when you say, well, our emphasis is going to be on sharing the gospel, and you look at that and you say, boy, if I could just have more of a heart for it. If I could just be more burdened for people. If I could just be more passionate about it. It'd be so much easier to share the gospel with other people here. If you could just be more concerned about it. And I want to challenge you from these four verses here today, and we're really going to just zoom in on two of them. I want to challenge you with this truth. Look at the harvest, and you'll work at the harvest. Take some time to look at the harvest. And if you will see the needs of the lost world around you, and you'll really think about them, and it'll really dawn upon you, and it'll really come upon your heart and soul, the need of people around you. If there's any compassion in your soul at all, if there's any concern for others at all, it ought to work in your heart to prompt you to say, I need to share the gospel with people. Look at what they're going through. Look at what they're facing. So I want to challenge you to look at the harvest. Jesus says, look at the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Several years ago, there were two brothers in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, that were digging a well. One was up on the top with the rope and the pulley and everything to pull the dirt out of the hole. The other one was down in the bottom of the hole, digging it out, putting it in the bucket so they could haul it out, and they were digging a well. Well, some point in time, the brother that was down in the bottom of the hole hit something loose, and all of a sudden a bunch of loose sand just began to avalanche down into the hole. He's in the bottom of the hole. Fortunately, he had some other materials down in there. There was a broad plank. He was able to get under that broad plank so it didn't just bury him alive, but he's still buried in the bottom of this well. He's alive. He's yelling up as much as he can to his brother. His brother can tell that he's alive. His brother runs through the town, gets in the township, and gets everybody that he can to come out. The township and everybody there stops what they're doing. They all come out, and they have to begin to work to dig him out. But as they dig him out, the sand continues to pour in. They dig, and they have to dig this huge hole and dig it all back and move the sand back. And they work the rest of the day. The night falls, they bring out torches and they light the area there, and they take turns working throughout the night so that finally in the early hours of the morning they were able to dig down far enough and pull his brother out to safety. Why would all of these people stop all of their other work and come to work on this? Why would they work all the way through the night, give up their sleep, give up their rest? Why would they do that? Because they saw the need. Because they saw the emergency. Because they saw the predicament that this person was in. And I believe if God will help us to see the needs of the lost world around us, it can have an impact upon our heart and challenge us to be more involved in God's harvest field. Look at the harvest, and you will be challenged to be involved in God's harvest. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that your spirit would take these truths from your word and challenge us all. I pray that your spirit would send forth laborers, would work in our hearts, that we would want to go and share the gospel, that we would see the needs of the lost world around us. And so, Lord, do that work, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to walk you through just three simple steps in this familiar text to help you see this truth. The first truth that I want you to see is this, that Jesus rubs shoulders with people. We're going to find that from verse number 35. Jesus rubs shoulders with the people. We're very familiar with verses 36, 37, and 38, aren't we? We're familiar with those verses. And there in verse number 36, Jesus has compassion upon people. Jesus is burdened about people. He sees the needs that they have for people. And as I was thinking about verse 36, I thought, well, how did that happen? And you go right back to verse number 35. You go back to the very verse before it and you say, well, I see now, I understand now how he had such compassion upon people. Look at what he had just done. Let's read it again. 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He had been among the people. He had rubbed shoulders with the people. Jesus, as we walk through this verse here, verse 35, Jesus had gone through their cities and their villages. I hope I don't over-exaggerate or over-emphasize this, but think about what he had seen. He had seen the hicks, and he had seen the city slickers. Both, right? The cities and the villages there. I don't know how much variation there was, but there's variation in our world today between cities and villages, between city folk and country folk. Sometimes it can mean different political views. Sometimes it can mean different standards of living. Sometimes it can mean busyness, the rat race of life versus busyness, and yet a different. Sometimes we think of a little simpler life there. Sometimes we can think of different moral standards, perhaps, at least in our mind, maybe not always lived that way. We think of more people or less people. We think of people from different walks of life. Jesus saw all that variety. He went to the cities and he went to the villages. He rubbed shoulders with all of these people. And the next phrase in verse number 35, he's teaching in their synagogues. The synagogue is the very core of the everyday Jewish religious life. The synagogue is where they have the Word of God, where they connect with God. It is the very core of them as Jewish people here. That's it. And Jesus goes there. He knows the spiritual dimension of these people. He knows the heart of their worship. And there he goes and he understands what they believe. And he teaches there. Next phrase, not only that, but it says here that he's teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He spent time communicating the truth to these people. He wasn't just out on a joyride here. He wasn't just out on a tour of it, but he spent time sharing the gospel with people and teaching them the truth of the Word of God. And there is something about ministering to people in that way and speaking to them the good news of Jesus Christ that does help you to get to know people in a greater way. Traveling to all these cities, going to their synagogues and understanding and communicating at the very core of who they are and the core of what they believe here. Teaching and preaching to them. And then the last phrase of verse 35, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He had been amongst those that were hurting and those that were in pain. He had seen sickly children. And he had been, as he had seen not only these sickly children, but then the burdened faces of their parents as they carried the weight that parents do when their children aren't doing well, when they're sick, when they're struggling there. He had seen that. He had seen the middle-aged man who had been involved in a farming accident and no longer would walk again, no longer would be able to care for his family like he wanted to, like he wished he could. He had seen the elderly grandmother that was struggling with her health. He had met the people who for years had struggled with chronic illnesses. Excuse me. Think about what it was like for him to see all of these ill folks. Meeting the family with that little toddler that barely lived and now was suffering all sorts of complications. He saw their crutches. He saw their beds. We would say their wheelchairs, their caretakers, their weaknesses, their limp bodies. He saw and noticed and was concerned about it all. And Matthew brings out the awesome thing here. And he healed every sickness and every disease. Matthew is emphasizing the fact that Jesus is God. This was no sham. This was no publicity stunt where he brought in certain ones that he could make look good here. He could heal any and everyone because he is God. The God who could but speak the universe into existence has no problem healing sickness and no problem healing disease. He has that great power. He is God the Son. And friend, if you're wondering if Jesus Christ is God, Matthew, an eyewitness, says undoubtedly he is, because he could heal every disease and every sickness amongst the people. But Jesus had seen all of this. In fact, Jesus had also experienced rejection. Go back to 34. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Jesus knew what it was like to be amongst people who had rejected him, who would take the good things that he had done and come up with excuses and ways to tear those things down. He had been amongst those people as well. Jesus Christ had rubbed shoulders with people. He had interacted with people. He had worked with people and been to their places of worship. He knew what it was for them to ache and to ache with them. He knew the people, multitudes of people. And listen, this isn't the only time that Jesus Christ did this. In our scripture reading earlier today, we read Matthew 4 and verse number 23, that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of kingdom. He had already done it in Galilee. Matthew chapter number 11, after he sends out the disciples, he goes and does it again. Jesus seems to have this deliberate, intentional, really mapped out effort to take the gospel, his presence, his message, his story to every single city and every single village amongst the Israelites. Because we know that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus made a strategic, intentional effort to go to every single city and every single village there. He went to where people are. He was deliberate. He wasn't there to just, on earth, to just sit in behind some walls. He wasn't there to just live by himself. He wasn't there to just do his own thing. He was there to minister to the people, to serve others, to seek and to save that which was lost. And constantly he's making circles out through the community, sharing the gospel, traveling to the villages, traveling to the cities, healing people, preaching in their synagogues, constantly crisscrossing across that countryside. And while he's doing so, he's interacting with people. He's spending time with people. He's seeing the needs that people have. Is it possible that we struggle to be involved in the harvest because we don't really truly rub shoulders with people like we need to? To rub shoulders isn't just to pass people and bump them as I'm sprinting this way and they're sprinting that way. That's not rub shoulders. Rub shoulders is the idea of socializing. It's the idea of really getting to know people and asking them questions and talking to them here. Is it possible that we, going through our busy life, really don't connect with people that often? We really don't see what they're going through. We really don't know them that well. We really don't see every sickness and disease amongst the people and all the burdens and all the struggles and all the weights that they have in their lives here. Sometimes we can be out amongst the people and not really see the burdens of those people. How much do you rub shoulders with them? How much do you care about them? How much do you see what they are going through here? We come this year upon another political year. And those presidential hopefuls are out there and they're crisscrossing the countryside, shaking hands. and trying to talk with people, trying to rub shoulders with people, trying to connect with people. How often do you really interact with that person that you pass every single day? How often do you really stop and strike up a conversation? And when you say, how are you? You really are asking and you really do care. You really are interested in what their response is. How often do you truly socialize with people and connect with those people? Think about it. Jesus had just finished a big circuit of preaching in all of their cities and villages where he interacted with people. And I really believe verse 35 leads to verse 36. Where we're going to see a second truth. Not only did Jesus rub shoulders with the people, but number two, he knew the people. He saw those people. He knew those people here. Verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Let's walk through this verse as well and just see what Jesus sees in the lives of these people. Three things that I want to mention to you. First of all, he knew they were exhausted. The word faint there, it tells us in verse 36, because they fainted. The word faint means to be spent. It means to be just given out. It means to be exhausted here, physically weary. And how many people in the metro are physically weary? How many people in your workplace are physically weary? They've gotten up in the morning, they've fought the traffic, they fought the snow all the way to work, and they've worked some long hours at work, and then they fight it all the way back home, and then when they get home, there's cars to repair, or there's children to run here or there, or there's errands to run, and finally they get home at the end of the day, and they're exhausted, and they're worn out, and they have the joyful prospect of getting up in the morning and doing it all again, for day after day after day, and there's overtimes, and there's extra jobs, there's second jobs, and they're going. And they're just exhausted and they're just worn out in their lives. They push and they push and they push. Some are climbing ladders and some are chasing their dreams and they live on Red Bull and Monsters until they can finally give out or until they can finally get a vacation or they can finally get away to the cabin for a little while here. And they're just exhausted. And it was very similar in Jesus' day. The people were exhausted. They fainted. The word faint, though, also can refer to being discouraged, just quitting. Jesus knew that they were exhausted. Jesus knew that they were discouraged. Just to the place where you just quit. The National Institute of Mental Health tells us that 7% of the U.S. population has had a major depression episode. Major depression episode is defined as a 2-week period of depression that results in a loss of interest in sleeping, in eating, in energy, in concentration, in self-worth. That's 7% of the American population, so almost 1 out of 10 American adults have experienced a 2-week period where they've been that depressed. Here's an interesting statistic. Of young people ages 12 to 17. Do you know what the number is? 13.3% of those young people have had one of those same 2-week periods. People are discouraged. Young people, teenagers who haven't even faced all of the challenges of adulthood and responsibilities say that they're even more depressed than their parents are. Every 10th person, if I can be rough with my numbers here, count them as you go through your day. Statistically, every 10th person has had a major episode of depression in their life. People are discouraged. Ellen picked up her pen and began to write a letter to her daughter Kathy. Dear Kathy, I sit in your newly cleaned room, you wouldn't recognize it, and try to get in touch with you and with how I feel. I can't think or feel or write. I took your Mickey Mouse sheets off your bed and the stuff down from your walls. I went through your drawers and boxes and read all the notes I found. I threw away your garbage, your half-eaten rabbit from last Easter, and your gum wrappers. I gave away most of your clothes, your shoes that waited so long for you to come and wear them. My heart has been waiting for you to come back too. My head has known for some time now that you are physically gone from my life, but my heart still loves you. as a living part of my life. My arms still yearn to reach out to hold you safe. I struggle with the knowledge that you did the only thing you saw you could do. End your own life. People are hurt and they're exhausted and they're worn with all the heartaches of life. They're discouraged and depressed. An elderly woman had lived her entire life struggling to overcome anger. And now in the closing years of her life, she was becoming increasingly aware of how her quick temper had chased away so many of her friends. Her quick temper had caused so many heartaches. It had destroyed so many relationships and now left her a sad, lonely, elderly woman. How discouraging she was. Discouraging it was. Another letter read this. I'm writing to let you know about 4-year-old Zach, who now has a growth on his aortic valve. Because Zach is ventilator dependent, the cardiologist is worried about doing surgery. It's very painful as a mother to watch your child suffer, knowing he doesn't understand why. He's a child, and this is his 26th hospitalization and his 15th surgery. People go through these real things in life. Or maybe about Jackie. For Jackie, it had been a few years since friends from high school had all gotten together. And so Jackie and all of her girlfriends from high school were together and they were going around the room giving updates on their lives. And Jackie started in. You all know about my husband. It didn't work out between us. My son's having a rough time getting off drugs. People have hurts. People have cares. People are broken. Many times we're just going about through our life and we're doing all of these different things that we've got to get going and got to get done and our list is a mile long and we forget to see the people. We forget to rub shoulders with the people. We forget that people are exhausted. We forget that people are discouraged. We forget that people have hurts and they have pains in their lives. Jesus sees that they've fainted. Both they're exhausted and they're discouraged. But the other expression that he has here, he sees that they're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Number 3, Jesus sees that the people are scattered. When I think of this expression of scattered here, I can't help but to think of images maybe from war. World War I, perhaps images. You see an image from World War I and the landscape is just obliterated. If there's any trees, they just look like telephone poles. There's not a blade of grass in sight. Everything's a single shade of drab. There are trenches and there's barbed wire crisscrossing the landscape and there's debris everywhere. There's debris of tanks. There's debris of dead horses that are still attached to the wagons that they were pulling across the battlefield here, and especially the debris of human bodies. Just scattered here and there. Casualties. Carnage. 20 million people died total in that war. The carnage of sin leaves bodies just scattered everywhere. Just this wreck over here and this, and just leaves this wounded and bleeding and this one dying and this one already gone, just strewn across the landscape of our world today. Such carnage. And lives are strewn across the metro area. The result of poor choices when they were young, when the hormones were raging and they were listening to Hollywood. Dear ladies left to raise children. Alone, a world pushing and promoting the alcohol industry more and more with their beer tents and their festivals, never minding what it does to women and children and what drunk drivers do to innocent victims here, not thinking of the carnage that so many of these sins do in our world today. Do you ever see that carnage? Do you ever see the human lives, as it were, just strewn about, scattered abroad? Here Jesus uses that word scattered and he goes to the farming scene as sheep having no shepherd. If they have no shepherd and they're scattered abroad, they don't have that shepherd to protect them when the wolves and the coyotes come. They don't have that shepherd to lead them to a place where they can find something to eat. They don't have that shepherd to lead them to the green pastures where they can be refreshed by the cool waters and just sit there under the shade of the tree and find the refreshment for their bodies and their souls. They don't have a shepherd, and as a result, they're left to wander around to wherever they think is best, doing that which is right in their own eyes, and as a result, being plundered and destroyed and ruined. Jesus rubbed shoulders with these people, and when he rubbed shoulders with these people, he saw these people and he knew what they were experiencing. He saw that they were fainted, that they fainted and that they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so Jesus rubbed shoulders with these people and he knew these people. He saw these people, and that leads me to the third simple point that I want you to see. Then he had compassion. He loved these people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Compassion, pity, care, concern for those people. Do you ever talk to somebody at the water cooler and they tell you about their life and what they're going through and your heart breaks? Do you ever just listen to the news and you hear this report of such and such a situation and you just think, how does that happen? Do you read something in the newspaper? Do you read it on an app, on a news app or something? And you look at that and you just say, how can people go through those things? How do they survive? How do they face those things? And your heart just breaks for these people. You have pity for them. You have concern for them. Jesus rubs shoulders with these people. He's around all sorts of people. He sees their need, and then he has compassion upon them. So here's the whole point of the message. If you would be involved in the harvest, you need to see the harvest. You need to look at the harvest. You need to rub shoulders with the people and see and know the people. It starts with seeing them. I want to just ask you a question that I ask myself a lot, and I'm still struggling with living it out. Am I so busy with my agenda and my to-do list and all the things that I have to do that though maybe I technically do see people, you know, they're blobs, there's forms, there's images, they're people, I don't really see the people. Are you so busy with all the things that you have to do that you're not really seeing the people? You're not really getting to know them. Maybe you don't have a burden for your neighbors because you've never talked to your neighbors. You've never spent any time going over and knocking on their door and just saying, hey, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Do you ever, you interact with them? You live next door to them? They live in the next apartment or something? Do you know them at all so that you know what they're going through and so that your heart can break with their condition that they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you seen the needs of our area? You know, Facebook marketing, we do some marketing every once in a while with our church here. I did some for the gingerbread competition, and we were thankful some folks came because of it. But Facebook tells me that within a 5-mile radius, that's basically over to 169, to the west, and over to the Blaine Airport to the east, down to 85th and Brooklyn Park south, and up to the Round Lake itself, the actual lake itself, a 5-mile radius, there's 140,000 people. In a 5-mile radius of this point where you're seated right now. In that area, if I understand the statistics correctly here, 70,000 of those people don't go to church on any given Sunday. If I understand the statistics correctly, 14,000 of those people, according to what I was saying earlier, have had a major bout of depression. In that area, 14,000 have experienced the incredible pain of divorce. And every single one of those people will spend eternity somewhere. 140,000 people, if they each have 6 inches and you line them up head to toe, it would be a line of people 13 miles long. There's that many people 5 miles away from our church. Listen, I want to challenge you to do something just weird, maybe out of the box, maybe something you've never thought about this week. I would like you to challenge you to get in your car and drive nowhere. All right? Don't be going somewhere. Don't be trying to get something done. But I just want you to drive through your neighborhood. Drive through your suburb. And don't be thinking about where you're going as much as be thinking about the houses. Be thinking about the people that live in those houses. drive and think about those things. Now you have to pay attention and make sure you stay safe while you're driving. You're not zoning out here, all right? But think about the people. Think about the neighborhoods. Drive up there and park outside of a grocery store or park outside of a convenience store. And just for a moment, watch the people. Go to a fast food restaurant. Go to a coffee shop and just watch the people. Not in a weird sense. Not in a criminal sense. All right? But just think about it. What are they facing? What are they going through? What experiences are they having this week? What struggles are they having with their health? What struggles are they having with their family? What challenges are they having with their children, with their parents, with their siblings here? Just spend 10 minutes this week driving nowhere to just think about the people. That's my challenge. It's practical homework this week. It's in your growth sheet this week. Spend some time doing that here. See, maybe the reason that we are not involved in the harvest is because we really don't see the people. And when you see the people, how can you not be excited and involved and laboring and eager in the harvest? When you see what people are going through, how can you not have compassion for them? How can you not have pity when you see those World War I images with the human carnage all across that? How can you not have your heart broken? How can you not have care when you see the struggles that sometimes little children face? How can you not feel the sympathy when you think of Jesus' illustration of the sheep that are struggling and they're scattered and they're shriveled up because they don't have a shepherd to take them to the place where they can get the good pasture and the food that they need there? How can you not have sympathy when you see faces and bodies that are worn with decades of sin and the effects of it? How can you not be concerned when you see children being brought up by parents and the parents either deliberately or unintentionally are just teaching their children that spiritual things are nowhere important? How can you not be bothered by that? How can you not be heartbroken? Okay, so maybe you live in a nice suburb. And maybe you're not going to drive through your nice suburb and just see some of the effects that you might see in an inner city area. And maybe you're not going to be heartbroken about that. But why not drive through that nice suburb and look at those homes and look at these families where they've got a couple kids and they've got all the toys and they've got all the technology and they've got all of these things, and your heart ought to break because there's a mom and a dad, quite possibly, in America that are living the American dream and they're going after all of the things that America can offer, and they're not making it a priority to teach their children about Jesus Christ. And those kids are going to grow up, they're going to live their lives and going to go off into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ. And it's not inner city, and they don't have the struggle maybe of drugs, and they don't have the danger of fighting for their lives and just struggling to not be shot and killed here, but they're going to live their entire existence without knowing the God that you know. They're going to live their entire existence without having a God that they can go to share their burdens and their heartaches and their cares and their concerns. They're going to go through all of their life going after the carrot, going after the rabbit, trying to find some sort of satisfaction and happiness in chasing the American dream. And it's not far out. It's right here in Coon Rapids. And when you drive through the metro and you drive through the nice neighborhoods, you remember that as well. And let your heart break that there are parents who are taking their children down that path. There are parents who are on that path. They haven't even stopped to think about it. Have you parked outside of a church in your community where hundreds of cars pull in every single weekend, sometimes daily, where they will talk about a Jesus, where they will talk about a cross, but where they will tell people that the way of salvation is through good works and baptism and joining the church, and hundreds of people will pour into their parking lot and pour into their school on a regular basis, and those people don't know Jesus Christ, many of them, the vast majority of them. Have you driven by the church in our community that will help you on your spiritual path, whatever it is? It doesn't matter what your spiritual path is. They're just going to help you. And if you want to go this way or that way or believe this or that, as long as you're spiritual, that's good enough. Have you sat outside of that and thought and considered what that's telling other people? Have you sat outside the senior citizen centers that are dotting out our throughout the metro area and thought about how in the next 5 years, many, if not most of the people who live in those homes will be spending eternity somewhere? Have you driven by the high school and seen the kids pouring in and out of those buildings, thinking about how confused, how empty, how lost, how misguided many of them are? Have you sat outside and walked through the campus of a community college and thought of young men and young women enjoying their freedoms, going after experiencing all that life offers, not realizing for many of them where those experiences could take them? Have you sat outside the sprawling Mercy Hospital campus thinking of the many patients inside that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior? Their illness could result very surely in them being in eternity, or they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and therefore they don't have His help to get them through that illness there. Have you spoken with that dear friend, that person, and they've shared some of their deepest burdens, the major decisions they have in front of them, the serious things that they're going through in their lives? Have you seen their burdens? Have you seen their needs? Have you seen those things? See, Jesus saw the people. He thought about the people. And the Bible makes it very clear that seeing that does impact us. Hear these verses. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. It's in the same book. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fainting or fasting lest they faint in the way. Lamentation 3:51. Mine eye affecteth My heart because of the daughters of My city. Luke 19:41, and when He was come near, He beheld the city, that's Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou, at least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. How many young people, it'd be interesting to do some sort of survey if it were possible. How many people went to the mission field? God called them to be missionaries. Because they sat in a church service and a missionary came in and he gave a presentation about some foreign field. They were 5, they were 10, they were 12, and for the rest of their lives, they were burdened about that mission field. They sat in children's church and somebody taught a mission story. They sat in vacation Bible school and somebody taught them a missionary story. And they learned about that country and they got a burden for that country. And they went to that country because they saw it. Or their church took them on a missions trip and they went to that country and they saw the needs of that country. And they said, listen, there's a call. There's a need. There are people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And their eye affected their heart. And today you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, the church is going to have their theme for the year to be I Harvest. It's going to be about evangelism. It's going to encourage us and help us to share the gospel. I know that's important. How can I have a greater need? Just see the people. Stop and see the people. This week, ask somebody an extra question. This week, spend time talking to somebody a little bit longer. Share their burdens. Share their needs. Pray for them. Tell them that you'll pray for them. Drive through the community and think about the needs that our community faces. And I believe that if you will look at the harvest, that God can use that to help you to labor in the harvest.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.